Have you ever said or heard somebody say the phrase, if the truth be told? I have a shirt from a youth rally. It was from a summer youth series, really, that once a week through the summer that we would the youth would gather together at a different congregation and have a topic that separate topics, but all in, on the same theme. And the theme for the year was the truth be told. Most of the time, though, when we use that phrase, if the truth be told, what are we really saying? I actually Googled the phrase, if the truth be told, and it came up in a reference dictionary. It says, it's used when saying what something is really like or what you really think about a situation. Now, when you think about that, you're saying something, well, if the truth be told, you know, whatever it might be. I'm going to actually say something that I wouldn't normally say that is maybe a little bit uncomfortable or it's the truth, though. If you think what that implies, well, if the truth be told and how we use it, it implies that the truth really isn't told that very much. I actually have to go out of my way to say I'm actually going to tell the truth about this certain situation. Most of the time we might say, well, we skate around it or overlook it, but the implication is the truth might not be told as much as it ought to be. It ought to be told all the time. This morning, I want to look at the subject of truth. I guess the first thing that we need to ask is that question that Pilate asked Christ. What is truth? In John chapter 18, starting in verse 37, we have here Christ being questioned by Pilate in this private meeting that Pilate is trying to determine why it is that the Jews and really the chief priests coming to him, those with the power over the Jewish nation, are wanting the death of Christ. Because the Jews, even though they are relatively self-governing, cannot enforce a death penalty. Only the Romans can. They want the death penalty for Christ. Pilate wants to know why. He starts questioning Christ about what the Jews are accusing him of. Are you really the king of the Jews? John chapter 18, verse 37 says, Pilate therefore asked him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I found no fault in him at all. Pilate says, or asks, what is truth? Well, if you go down and actually look at that word that we translate truth from the Greek, it means truth, but not really truth that is spoken, but truth of an idea, reality, sincerity, truth in a moral sphere, divine revealed truth to man, straightforwardness. You could simply put, if you want to define truth in a few words, it means that which corresponds to reality. Truth is that which is real. Now, I want you to stop and think about considering that definition. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. What is real? And think about that statement that Pilate made. What is truth? Because really, that is a statement. It's not really a question. We might call it a rhetorical question. The answer is already known, what truth is. Now, as we think about it, truth, that which is real. You think about what Pilate said, and it almost doesn't make sense that anyone would even ask that question. But even today, 2,000 years later, you have people really doing the very same thing, except this time, instead of asking a rhetorical question, really already knowing the answer, people say, well, truth really isn't even a thing anymore. You have your truth and I have mine. We will bury the definition of truth so deeply that we can kind of make it, we can make truth into a gray area where it's kind of obscured. But truth is reality, that which corresponds to reality, that which is real. Okay, if that is truth, truth is what is real, then how can you have your truth and I have my truth and the two be conflicting? There can't be two things that are opposed to one another and both be real. You can't say, well, that ball is black all over. And that is truth. And someone else say, no, that ball is white all over. And that is truth. Well, what is real? The truth is that it is either black or it's white or it's neither. That either I'm right, you're right, or we're both wrong. Truth is truth. It's what's real. We can know that. See, and that's the part that people have trouble getting past. The truth is reality. Is that real? Is that real? Now, you think, belief. Belief. Do you believe because it is the truth? Do you believe because it is reality? Oh, you have faith in that. Why? Because it is real. It's reality. Well, you have your truth. No. It is what is real. It is a thing. It can be proven out. Pilate asked this rhetorical question, considering that it's obvious what truth really is reality. And Pilate's no dummy. He didn't get to the position that he is in without having some sense. He's asking this rhetorical question. What he's saying is, you know what? To me, truth is not really the most important thing. Here in this instant, truth doesn't matter. Political expedience is really what's mattered. The high priest Caiaphas, he had already said, is it not expedient that one man die instead of the whole nation? He prophesied the truth, spiritually speaking, but you see the way he meant it, this man Christ is causing a problem for us. We need to get rid of him. It's better that we get rid of him than he disrupt the whole nation of Israel. It's expedient for us. This is what we desire. You see, and there lies the problem. Our desire can get in the way of the truth. You say, well, how can people not see the truth? Because if truth is what is real, isn't it obvious? How could you get around that? Well, because I don't desire to. I don't desire to acknowledge that what is real is actually there. So it's easy. I can shut my eyes. I can stick my fingers in my ears. I can turn my back to it. Just like those Jews, the auditors of Stephen's sermon, when he got to his concluding point, it says they stopped their ears. That's it. Did they know what Stephen said was true? They wouldn't have been upset at all if it hadn't have been. They knew the truth. They knew what he said was real. It was reality. They didn't accept it, though. They like children, put their hands over their ears. This is not what I want anymore. So I'm just going to ignore it. Now, considering what truth is reality, think what is the opposite of truth. If so many people are willing to ignore truth, what are they going to? What are they accepting if not reality? Well, what's the opposite of truth? Romans chapter 1, starting verse 25, and we referenced this morning in class, says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God, God is reality, for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. You see, the opposite of truth, what is real, is a lie. If truth is what is real and the opposite of truth is a lie, then what is a lie? It's that which is not real, right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. The opposite of what is true is a lie. So what are people doing when they reject the truth? They are accepting a lie. They are accepting what is not real. It's interesting, when you go to the Greek, that word in 1 John chapter 2, there is that no lie is of the truth. The Greek word for lie there is pseudos. It's where we get our English word pseudo, right? We might say, oh, that's pseudoscience. It's false science, right? Pseudo, it's false. It's not real. That's what that means. That lie, it's not real. Now, where do lies come from? Christ told the Jews, you do the will of your father, the devil. Right? Why? Well, because he is a liar and the father of it. Lies started with Satan. That's where sin came into the world. He lied to Eve. He told her a lie. She passed that lie on. Why? Was it not obvious what the fruit was? That the fruit, that's the knowledge of good and evil, was it not obvious to Eve what that fruit was? It was the thing that God said, you don't touch that. Don't eat it. Don't look at it. Don't desire it. That is off limits. Okay? That's reality. That's what's real. Is that not simple when you think about Eve's choice? God says, do not eat that. What is real is that that's something that is out of bounds, off limits. Satan comes in and says something different than the truth. He tells a lie. It's not real. What he said wasn't reality. You shall not surely die. That was wrong. It wasn't reality. Why did Eve give in? It's simple, right? The one thing God said, don't do this, follow the truth. She gave in. Why? She desired it. She desired it. Maybe it's not so bad. Or maybe the consequences aren't really what they're made out to be. God said, don't eat this. If you do, you shall surely die. Well, maybe that's not real. Wait, but God, the creator of all things, said yes. And we're saying, no. Stop and consider that. We sin, we're saying, I'll accept what's not real. Because that's what sin is, right? You'll say, well, how is sin not real? How is sin not real? Because you go out, and you can see it all the time. You go to a bar, and you can see drunkenness. And that's real. It's tangible. I can see it. I can see the results of it. You can see the results of sexual immorality, of pornography, of all of these things. These are things that I can turn them on. I can touch them. I can see them. Isn't that real? No, not really. It's a lie. You see, what's real is says, God says, this is what you are to do. These are the guidelines that I desire you to follow. This is your law. This is true. Everything outside of it is a lie. You see, the only way Satan can get us to sin is by telling us, you see, this really isn't so bad. You see, this really is not, it's not that different than the truth, what's real. You see, you really won't get in trouble. It's really not sin. Maybe the consequences really aren't as bad. You see, the lie is, oh, that's as good as the truth. That's as good as what's real. It's not. Everything in the world, everything that the world promotes is It's a lie. It's a lie. The truth is what's real. You say, well, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. That how can something that's tangible not be real? Well, hold on to that thought for a minute. I want to jump forward a little bit. Not only can we understand what the truth is, but God expects us to. He expects us to know the truth. John chapter 8, verse 31, here Jesus said to his disciples, to the Jews that believed in him, it says, if you abide in my word, John 8, 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. It is possible for us to know the truth. It's possible for us to know what is real from what is not real, to know the truth from the lie. Said you can know the truth, and if you do this, you'll be made free. Now, stop and consider, okay, this is not real. God said, this is not what I want for you. Anything that is outside of this, okay, go back to the simple illustration of Eve and the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. The truth is that is off limits. That's what's real. What's not real is I can eat this and be okay, all right? Everything in the world. The truth is this is sin. It's not real that I can do any of this and be acceptable. Drunkenness is not acceptable. Fornication is not acceptable. Lying is not acceptable. Cheating is not acceptable. Unjustified hatred is not acceptable. It's a lie. It's not real. It's possible to know the truth. Again, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting verse 18, we're told, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are all without excuse. I brought this up this morning. Everyone is without excuse because for the very fact of God's creation demands that we accept the fact that there is a creator. But not only that, because that's very basic. That's on a very basic level. Like in class this morning, we talked about that Samuel said, here, I'm going to come and reason with you in detail why you ought to be faithful to God. Well, say, well, just observing creation, I can tell that there is a God, but I really can't tell much about him, right? I have to have more information. Well, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, and I reference this passage a good bit. Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If we desire that knowledge, God will make it possible that we know every time. We are all without excuse. Everyone who has ever sought God, everyone who will ever seek God, has found him and will find him. That is the truth of the matter. The only people who do not know God are those who do not seek him. Period. It's possible that we can know the truth. Not only is it possible, it's necessary. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, we're told, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and all to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's desire that we are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, stop a minute and say, well, how is it? Is it the case that we are saved and then come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, that's not what Paul is telling Timothy here at all. He's saying these two things, salvation and coming to the knowledge of the truth, are inseparable. They're inseparable. You cannot be saved without coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I say they're inseparable when it comes to salvation. You can take salvation out of the equation. You can come to the knowledge of the truth. You can at least you can have a basic knowledge, you can have a belief in God without salvation. James said even the demons believe and tremble. But when you dig down and you actually understand what Paul here is saying, that word knowledge in the Greek is epinosis. Gnosis means to know. We call people that say they don't know whether there is a God an agnostic. From gnosko, I know. They're saying, I don't know. Epinosis. They put that prefix epi on there. We use the same in English. We would say the epicenter. You know, the point that is right over the very center. Epinosis. This is a knowledge over and above. This is an intimate knowledge. A knowledge that I obtain through experience. Now, how can you experience truth? Well, you can experience truth simply because it is that which corresponds to reality. It is real. I can experience what is real. I can touch what is real, what is tangible in this life here. You say, well, what about spiritual things? Well, didn't we just read Romans chapter 1, where God says that we are without excuse because the physical, tangible things of this world, that is creation, proclaim that there must be a creator? I can know because of that. Well, what about in my own life? Can I not see God working in my own life? When I look back and I see all the times that I was incapable of taking care of business myself, when I was in need and I could not by myself fix the situation, and I see the providence of God at work in my life. I look back, how can I not acknowledge that? How can I not acknowledge the care that God has given me throughout my life? I can know the truth because it's real. The question is, am I going to accept it? See, and that's just it. I can know it, but do I accept it? We don't have to. We don't have to accept the truth. We don't have to accept what is real. People try to get away from what is real all the time, right? Whatever it be, I'm going to take a vacation. Why am I going to take a vacation? So I can kind of get away from reality a little bit. My day-to-day life, even if it's not bad, it just relax. I can get away from it. Unplug for a little while. Sometimes people will try to get away from reality in less constructive ways. And why do people take drugs? Why do people drink? You can have a myriad of answers, but get away from reality a little bit. But I want you to stop and consider the truth compared to the lie, that which is real compared to that which is not real. Because it's one thing for me to stand up here and say this and really say, well, in theory this works out, but what about in practice? John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is Christ saying there? If truth is that which is real, and Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus said, I am what is real. I'm real. Not the world and the things of the world. Not the things that the world pushes. Not the lie that Satan has told. I am what is real. Now, you compare that to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Those who exchanged the truth of God, Christ, God, the truth, that they are real, for the lie. Well, what is the lie? They stopped and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. They said, okay, I am God. I'm going to worship myself, someone else, something else. Maybe it's a physical object. Maybe it's an activity. Maybe it's a person, a family member, some type of a sports figure, myself. That's the main thing. I turn myself into God. that I'm going to do what I want to do. We mentioned abortion recently and why women would desire, anyone would desire to have an abortion. Because it's my body, I have the right to. What am I saying? I'm God. I can do whatever I want to do, whenever and however I want to do it. We reject God, we reject the truth, and we follow the lie. That's not real. For me to stop and say, I'm God? Consider that. Really stop and consider that. I know I'm fallible. I know the limitations of my power here in this life. I can't get my 2-year-old to eat supper most of the time, and I think I'm God? Stop and think about that. But every time I reject God, every time I serve myself, I want to do this. This is my desire. I reject the truth. I reject that which is real, and I turn to that which is not real, the fact that I think I'm God. That's what I'm doing. When I sin, that's what I'm doing. And it's obviously not real. It's obviously a lie. But I can blind myself to it. I can blind myself to it. One final thought. John chapter 4, verse 24. And I want us to consider this. John 4, 24. Christ talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. He says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, and here's the problem. Here's what it is really hard to contemplate. Here's really what is hard to focus on, to actually practice, to put into practice. Spiritual things that aren't tangible, that I can touch them. You say the truth is real, so it must be tangible all the time. Well, no, these spiritual things, God is a spirit, but I know that God is real, and he's given me tangible evidence. He's given me enough evidence to prove that he is real. But when I leave these doors, whether it's this morning, this afternoon, whenever it might be that I leave these doors and I go back home, do I ever say to myself, well, it's back to reality, right? Because what is reality to you? And I want to think to your day-to-day lives. Are you going to get up tomorrow and go to work, go to school? Whatever you might be doing, that is real, is it not? It is real. That is the truth, right? I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to work in whatever capacity I find myself in. Okay, that's the truth. That is what is real. But is that my entire reality? Is that God's truth? Is it when I leave here, I say, I am now going into what is real? What my life is focused on? Reality. I'm going back to that. Because it's not. Yes, those things that we do in there, of necessity. God said we must provide for ourselves. Those of our own household. That we are to go out and we are to work and we are to labor. Those are good things. And those can be good things. But like any physical thing, we can turn it to something that's not. If we leave this door and through these doors and we say, now I'm going to go back to my reality, what is real, I'm already lost. If God is not our reality, stop and think about what Paul said. This earthly tent, this temporary shelter that we have, this is momentary. Abraham wouldn't settle. He didn't have a homeland. He rejected that. He lived in tents his entire life and said, well, why? Because he looked for a better home, a permanent one, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That was his reality. And it wasn't just his reality. That was really what was real. Is that what's real for us? Or when we leave these doors, do we go out and say, well, this is the daily grind. This is what is real. And we reject God. Well, I'll, I'll accept the truth next Sunday, next Wednesday night, whenever I struggle, then I'll come back. But when the world becomes what's real, when it becomes our truth, all we've done is accept the lie. John 8:44, Christ told the Jews, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for the truth, because there is no truth in him." If we accept the lie, God is not our father. It's something for us to consider. One last verse I want to leave you with, and one of the most thought-provoking and maybe one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. A verse that we should commit to memory. Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth and do not sell it." I want to offer the invitation this morning. The invitation that we are all subject to. Understanding that we all have a choice to make regarding the truth, regarding God. Do we accept Him? Do we accept Him as what is real and follow that, or do we turn our back and blind ourselves and accept the lie? We must ask ourselves that. If you are subject to the invitation this morning, we want to offer it to you. And have this time. Many times we stumble. Many times we fall and we struggle to get up, but we can turn from that. If you are in sin, turn to God. Ask for His forgiveness. If you have made a public sin, you can put forth a public confession. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you this morning, we want to encourage you. Please come as we stand and sing.